Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, in the name of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It has been said, going back perhaps to Edward Gibbons, the well-known author of The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, and it has been said since then, that if you had a choice to choose when you would have lived your life and where you would have lived it in all of human history, that the best time and place until the modern age would have been in the heart of the Roman Empire during the Antonine Emperor's, roughly the middle of the 2nd century AD. What is meant by this is that if you lived in the heart of the empire during those years, you would have lived your life in relative peace, safety, and security. You would have enjoyed many of the amenities of life, because some of them also had running waters in their houses and also hot water heat. You would have also had a reasonable amount of opportunity for upward social mobility, at least to the degree that those have existed prior to our modern age. Well, have we who are in ministry, those who are about to embark upon their first call, or those among us about to get their feet wet in ministry during a year of vicarage, have we ever asked the question, if we had or had had the opportunity to choose when in the almost 2,000-year history of the Christian church that we would have liked to have been a pastor in Christ Church or to have lived out our Christian life? What period would we have chosen? We might well have chosen the time frame of our text this morning, roughly the 30s, 40s, maybe 50s A.D. Because when you read this text and think in those terms, you might say it really can't get any better than this. Because the text describes some conditions that are truly ideal. First of all, what the text describes is that in this area where Peter was ministering, there apparently was a real sense of Christian community. Verse 32 says that Peter passed throughout all quarters and came to the saints living in Lydda. Christians were called saints. They must have been a very special group of God-loving and fearing people. Then in verse 38, it says that the disciples living in Joppa wanted Peter to come and stay with them. It was a real sense, again, of community, a real sense of love and respect for the spokesman of Christ. And in verse 43, we're told that Peter stayed many days in Joppa with Simon the tanner. There's no indication here whatsoever of disagreement or conflict or competition. There's no indication of factions in the church trying to push their own agenda or gain a higher office or control of a group. There was apparently a true spirit of mutual love and respect. The Christians in this area seem to have been indeed bent upon one mission: to build the Church of Christ in Palestine. Then we're also told that Tabitha, also called Dorcas, was a woman full of good works, a real almsgiver, a person who knitted and made these clothes apparently for the poor and the needy, just the kind of individual you would love sitting out in the pews of your church. A true, God-fearing, God-loving servant of the word who also fulfills the second table of the law, love for her neighbor. Doesn't get much better than that. And then secondly, we're told that Peter was able to perform miracles. miracles much like or equal to those that Jesus did prior to his ascension. Peter starts out with a miracle of healing. He heals a man named Aeneas, a man with a truly Roman epic name, who was bedridden, paralyzed for 8 years, apparently beyond human healing or remedy for his ailment. But Peter heals him. He gets up and he walks again. And then he goes to where the body of Tabitha or Dorcas is lying. He sends the other people out of the room, and then he tells her to get up, and she gets up. He brings a dead person back to life. What better display of the power of the Word of God than this? Wouldn't it have been wonderful if we could have seen miracles performed in the name of Jesus? Or we might even ask, if we had been in the ministry at that time, would we possibly have been able to perform such miracles? We don't know. But we do know it would have been much easier to be a Christian if we could see miracles like that performed around us. Or it would have been much easier never to get discouraged doing the work of God's kingdom, if we could see that kind of display of power right before our eyes. Granted, we still see the power of God's word working in our world today. And you will also see evidence of it during your ministry, but it's not quite so graphic, not quite so vivid as seeing a miracle like this being done or the result of it. And then talk about effective ministry. Again, it doesn't get any better than this. Because when Peter healed Aeneas, we're told that all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon, they turned to the Lord. All turned to the Lord. That's 100% of the people who knew what Peter had done. And after he raised Dorcas from the dead, Luke says that many in Joppa believed in Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful if at the end of your first official act in ministry, all the people of your new community would turn to Christ and believe in him? You would even be satisfied with many turning to God and believing. That was a tremendous time to be alive and to have been a Christian. A tremendous time to have been doing the work of God. It's not quite the same today, but we still have the work of God to do. We still have to believe on Christ in a world that isn't too conducive to that anymore. I don't know if you, a few years back, watched the British science fiction series on Channel 9, Doctor Who. But Doctor Who and his lady associate would walk or get into one of the bright red British phone booths, which served as kind of a spaceship and time capsule. And then they could visit different places of the universe, go backward or forward in time. We can't get in a phone booth and go back to the 40s, 30s, or 50s, whatever AD. We have to believe and carry on our ministry at the beginning of the 21st century. But still, we know there are good things going on, and we can always read this text and know what is still possible because of the power of God in our world, still at work through his word and his sacrament. The church may have lost some of the fervor and the sense of community of those early disciples, but God still commands that we love one another. The Holy Spirit still builds the church of God into a community of saints with a real sense of Christian brotherhood and sisterhood. And you will see that also in your ministry. Maybe not all the time, but you will still know that it's possible and you will pray and you will minister for that to happen. We can't perform miracles in our day such as Peter did, but we still know that the power of God is at work in word and sacrament. Yesterday at the church where I help out, we had a spokesman for Gideon International address the congregation at the end of the service on their work. And he told a little story of some of their representatives giving out, I think it was around 1,600 New Testaments on a college campus. And he said a young lady stopped and picked up her New Testament. And as she was walking away, he saw that she was opening it and begin to read it. Then a young man came up and wanted a New Testament. He opened it and then he said to the man, "I can't read this. Don't you have a Spanish version?" And just at that time, the young lady comes back and says, "I can't read this New Testament. It's not English. It was Spanish." And he said, "What are the chances that out of 1,600, one Spanish version got in those boxes of New Testaments and was available right at that moment?" We don't know. Was it just happenstance? Or was it again a case of God working in his mysterious and marvelous ways? We know God still does that. And then also many people can and still will be led to faith by the Holy Spirit, who still works through the word that we proclaim. After all, God has promised that he sends forth his word and it will not return to him void, but it will indeed accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. You still have that assurance. Maybe you won't get the 100%, maybe you won't always get the many, but you will still, if you witness to the word of God, you will see people come to faith, and you will rejoice in that. No, we can't choose the time or the place in which we live or minister, but we still can make the most of the opportunities that God gives us in our place and time. May God grant that we all will have an effective ministry throughout our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen.